here on the High Spot alongside my tag team partner and one member of the Jersey Wrecking Crew, Jeff Martin. I am Brian Berga, and you've been listening to the High Spot Podcast. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Jeff, I got to get right into it right now. I mean, it's great to see you again. It's always great to see you and do these shows. You know, I'd rather have you on assignment than actually in the studio, but let's get right to it.
Well, that's
man.
Not going
to
happen, so I'm going to be here for life.
I've never been lucky, right, in life, but one can hope. But on the dawn of that, we are always on the show, and people who are listening to it, again, thank you so much for your support. We appreciate that, and you want to look at the upcoming events and upcoming news on our Twitter account. But man, what a reason to love wrestling, which we saw at NXT TakeOver, The End. And we're kind of a little worried about what The End meant, but now we kind of know it is the end of the beginning and the beginning of the end, to coin a phrase, because we kind of saw we're going to see a new evolution of NXT, but what a way to end it. When you even say it yourself, when you watched the vignettes and the opening to NXT TakeOver on the network, it was like it already sucked me in. It was amazing from match one to the very end. I have no complaints about this. It showed me again, Jeff, why I love professional wrestling the way I do.
Yeah, I mean, it had a very tough act to follow because, you know, we are all still getting over NXT TakeOver Dallas. So it had that to try to beat. And yeah, you're right, man. That opening intro was just amazing. Gave you chills. And it was. It was the end of the Finn Balor and Samoa Joe feud, but it was also the beginning of the Samoa Joe era. And, you know, I don't know where you want to start. You want to start from top to bottom, from bottom to top?
I want to start off first, Jeff, and first and foremost, I want to start off with the main event. Finn Balor and Samoa Joe going one-on-one for the NXT title in the first ever steel cage match. And it's amazing, Jeff. You and I have watched so many steel cage matches in our time, through every single event, every single pay-per-view. But this one had a special feeling to it because it was the first for the brand, not the developmental league, the brand
first ever,
NXT.
And the first ever for the Demon, Finn Balor.
Yeah, what a great match. All of them have been amazing from all the NXT takeovers. This one, by far, was the icing on the cake, the cherry on top, because both of these guys are obviously good friends. They're great in the ring. But what you said more importantly, Jeff, I want you to elaborate on this. When we saw this match, it told a story in the ring.
Yeah, it did. It did tell a story. I don't know where you want to rate this on the matches that they had. I don't know, you know, where exactly you would put it there, but I think it's up there. And I think that their use of the steel cage, I guess it did tell a story, and I think the timing of when they used the steel cage was also good. So, I mean, the psychology of the match, that muscle buster, that super muscle buster towards the end, to me, just a very high-quality match. And, yeah, you know,
Well, I put it up there, Jeff, because you know why? They had a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is going to be the end of this feud between Samoa Joe and Finn Balor, great build-up towards it. They kind of made Finn Balor the champion that was basically just surviving the onslaught of the juggernaut, which was Samoa Joe. And they're starting to flip it around as opposed to something that had awoken in Finn Balor after he lost the NXT title. And now it's Finn Balor taking it to Samoa Joe. You kind of saw that during the match, especially during afterwards when the match was over. You saw Samoa Joe look like he had been through a car wreck.
Yeah, like he had
really
survived
was.
Finn Balor this time, which they made a great point in saying too.
And the commentators did a great point as well during the match to elaborate that, to make it more focal if you couldn't tell by watching in the ring. But it's just a nice way to end it. We kind of thought that was going to happen. And now what bodes more is the excitement, not only that we're going to see now a Samoa Joe reign. We were kind of cheated out a little bit, I felt, with Kevin Owens for the fact that he went up to the main roster too quickly. Could have seen a dominant performance by him as a reigning NXT champion. Now Samoa Joe has the ball. You know, we didn't think this way of Samoa Joe when he first came in because he kind of got lost in the shuffle, I felt, at least a little bit.
And it wasn't his fault, too. It was just the people he was being put up against. And it takes time to get used to a new place in NXT. So, you know, I guess, okay, maybe some of it was a little bit on him. But, you know, now he found a great dance partner in Finn Balor. And just the way they've just pushed him and they've made the story and just the way he's been featured, definitely the Samoa Joe that we used to see in TNA.
And the excitement in a Samoa Joe title reign, Jeff, is that you just said he had a great dance partner in Finn Balor. He's got a great number of dance partners to work with the NXT roster the way it is right now. One thing I had mentioned previously on the on the hot tag segment. I finally did one, Jeff. You'd be proud of me.
Ooh, can't wait to hear.
This roster is full of established guys who've gotten themselves over and work well with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, they're established, man. I think it's always going to be pushed to the future. But right now, what they have are, hey, guys that have been around the world and know their craft, and they have the platform of NXT to do so. And you talk about dance partner, you go from Finn Balor to where eventually they want to go into Shinsuke Nakamura, and it's going to be a great summer, which I think will be the main event for NXT Brooklyn as we look ahead now to NXT Brooklyn and the weeks ahead heading into August. I'm just excited about that because you would think, after Nakamura's win over Austin Aries, that's where they want to go. Another great match between both these guys. And, of course, Nakamura, I kind of predicted that Nakamura was going to get the victory here. But a hard-earned win for Shinsuke, the King of Strong Style. And now, hey, listen, man, you go from Finn Balor, which gave you four great matches, and now you're going to get Nakamura. And you can't be anything but excited.
Yeah, look at it this way. Everybody always talks about how NXT takeovers, they have to hit home run every single time, and some haven't lived up to the billing, right? And we've talked about it. You can't always do it every single show, but Nakamura has proven now, not only working with Sami Zayn, but now working with Austin Aries, who's an untapped potential right there if they figure out how to use Austin Aries the right way, which I think they're starting to figure out. My goodness, I mean, with Nakamura, if his next spot is now against Samoa Joe, do you think it's too early? Is it the right time? And if they do that, how much further can you go with Nakamura in terms of, man, this guy's hitting out of the park every single time? You just think it'd be logic that when Samoa Joe and Nakamura go at it, it's going to be another classic match. But
well,
again,
how long did you want to wait, though? I think that in NXT, I think it's not like SmackDown or Raw. I think that they, they can make a slow build, but with these two veterans, you want to do it now because the brand extension, you never know what's going to happen. So I would say, why not get this match? This is going to be a hot match. This is what they want. If Finn Balor is going to leave, then who's the next guy up? And I think it's Nakamura. So I don't think they waited too long. I think that it's just right.
Okay, I mean, that's where we disagree because I think this is something you can wait towards. What they've done in WWE, giving you John Cena, AJ Styles, giving you Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns. I get it. The timing is right.
Well, when do you think the timing is right?
I want to say this for a SummerSlam.
Well, yeah, the NXT Brooklyn. That's the next time
talking about WWE, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, AJ, Cena. I want to save that for SummerSlam. I would want to save this, if I could, to WrestleMania 33, NXT TakeOver over there in Florida. That place is going to be, that's going to be
so
the pinnacle of your main event.
Who would you say that Samoa Joe goes up against? Rude?
Rude comes in. Austin Aries, who knows? There'll be established ones where, again, it's not going to be a classic main event, which is a huge buildup. But again, you know better than anybody. You've been talking about the Bullet Club and how you want to milk this for all it's worth. Wouldn't you want to milk this main event?
Yeah, but for SummerSlam, since SummerSlam is the second, WrestleMania of the summer, I see no problem why not having Nakamura and Samoa Joe have a lengthy feud heading into the summer at SummerSlam at NXT Brooklyn.
I think the way they do it now, where they tape everything every 4 weeks in advance, you can milk this till WrestleMania. You don't have to immediately put them together because, again, obviously you're shaking your head like you're a know-it-all the time.
Oh, I just agree to disagree. That's all. And it's good.
No,
it's good.
See, this is why if I ran SmackDown,
you're the one that's getting all upset
Raw,
over here because I don't agree with your...
Jeff, you never agree with anything I say. You just
That's the problem. Mostly we do. And
which is why I enjoy the fact
that
we're not agreeing on something for the first time. But again, you could see it, right? I mean, logically, yeah, why would you? I get it. But at the same time, if I'm running and be like, hey, if I can get over one NXT takeover, granted, again, I'm not trying to give away a takeover, I would try to save it and look for what's worth. But again, moving on to that, something that I was also excited about too, Jeff, that I want to talk to you about. My God, thank God for tag team wrestling. It's back. And NXT does a great job of showcasing tag team wrestling with American Alpha, man. American Alpha and the Revival reminded me back then, Jeff, when we used to watch teams like the Rockers, the British Bulldogs, and the Hart Foundation, just to name a few. And it was just great timing. It told a story, but it wasn't false finish after false finish, which is sometimes gets pretty
boring. Hallelujah on that.
It's just great timing on the part of both teams.
Yeah, and honestly, though, it was a little bit surprising, though, because I was surprised that they took the titles off American Alpha that fast, especially since last week.
Starting to like the name now? Does it ring off the tongue better, American Alpha?
No, you know what? In defiance, I'm going to say Jordan and Gable. I'm going to say the world's greatest tag team version 2.0, although now I'm going to need a glass of water after that because it's so long-winded. But no, I mean, it was a little surprising that Jordan and Gable lost the titles. And, again, everything leads to the brand extension because there's rumors that they might get called up. But to me, again, it's it's too early, and I think they should have had a longer run. And especially, again, last week, the Revival lost to Ciampa and Gargano. And, you know, nice little swerve by them thinking that they had no shot.
The Revival are the first ever two-time champions in NXT.
Two-time anything.
So that's another historic thing we saw as well.
Yeah, the first two-time anything, two-time tag team champion. So, you know, kudos to them. But again, going back, I think that you could set up where, you know, it's 1-1. You know, so now, you know, the third match, we'll see. We'll see if they want to do that to the tag team titles.
Jordan and Gable were attacked viciously by a group of I would say they're gigantic, man.
They're like, huge.
They're huge. You would say, were they like Samoan?
I'm not sure, but doing a little digging, their name right now, what they were being called in dark matches were the Authors of Pain. So
I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah. The crazy thing about it was is that who might be actually their manager, who might be their voice piece, their advocate? Paul Ellering, and of course, the Hall of Fame manager of the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, Animal, and Hawk. That was surprising to see.
Last but not least, though, was the women's championship was on the line with the defending champion, Asuka, going one-on-one with Nia Jax, your favorite.
My girl.
Your girl, man.
The girl that when she walks into the room just gets my heart pounding.
A lot of people would probably say, and if you don't agree with me, go on the High Spot Podcast at High Spot Podcast.
Yeah, disagree with us, man. Disagree with Brian. Tell him, curse him out.
Exactly. Go ahead. You know, and I'm sure it'll be Jeff's tag 100 times. But again, whatever. You guys, please, we want to hear your responses to us. But I've been told time and time again, sometimes I don't give credit where credit is due. I'm going to go on here right now and say that I was a little tough on Nia Jax in the beginning, but man, she has come leaps and bounds. I mean, she's still not there yet. But compared to what she was last time we saw her in TakeOver in London against Bayley, till now, she's done a great job of really embracing the kind of not only look and appeal that she has, but the kind of style she has. She's powerful. She can dominate these women. And kind of similar to what Big Show one time said on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast is, you have to act like a big man. You got to act like a big woman. You got to take advantage of it. And she did it really well. I still want her to change her finisher, though, because I just think long-term-wise, that's just going to burden her. I could see this woman giving a powerbomb to all the women in the division. But, man, Nia Jax, kudos to her. Great performance. And just she's going up and up without a doubt.
Yeah, I don't see this as a setback for her. A lot of people will be like, well, you know, you lost to Bayley at TakeOver. You lose to Asuka here. But you know what? She had a very dominant month. I mean, she beat Bayley. She actually broke Bayley. Supposedly, that's why she was injured and couldn't compete at TakeOver. You know, she became the number one contender, beat Alexa Bliss, and she also beat Carmella. So she's had a very good month in the lead-in to TakeOver. So I see her just getting stronger. She'll learn from this. And one more thing that was a little bit surprising is they had a golden opportunity to label this as the irresistible force against the immovable object, and they didn't. And I think, and in my NXT report, which you can catch every week, I chose to do it, and I'm just surprised that they didn't label that match as the irresistible force against the immovable object. One interesting thing, though, that we did hear from Triple H afterwards on Facebook Live after the NXT TakeOver was that things are about to get interesting in the women's division. So I really can't think of a person overseas or in another company that could make an impact. But supposedly what Triple H knows that we don't is that things are going to get really interesting in the women's division in the weeks, months ahead.
Talking about future stars, Jeff, real quick before we wrap on this.
A little about myself. I don't think I'm going to be in NXT. I'm happy right here looking at your pretty face.
Now we know you're lying, because if you want to sit next to this ugly mug, then something's wrong with you, Jeff. But talking about the future, though, what did you think, your feelings on that special that came in right after TakeOver with Breaking Ground Reloaded, where we actually saw talked about the future. We saw the stars that we eventually see now in NXT being called up to the main roster, and more than that, and the emotional investment we have in them as they go to the main roster. But we also see, you know, the youth out there and the people that want to get that spot or chomping at the bit, you know, if we were to say that, of getting it. It just gives me a good feeling as a pure wrestling fan, as you are as well, that, wow, maybe the future isn't as dark as I thought it was going to be. Maybe the future will be good. It always depends on how, you know, management and booking handles things like this. But in terms of talent, they've got a lot of talent there, and I can't wait to see all of them.
Well, I mean, first of all, it was just a great Breaking Ground Reloaded. Just
getting emotional now.
How could you not? It was really good. If you don't at least get your eyes watery and watching some of that stuff, then you know what? Nothing's going to, you know, pull at your emotions. Because, listen, we saw behind the scenes of TakeOver Dallas, to me, which was, I want to pull a bit past Brooklyn, but it was right up there. And, you know, to have been there and witnessed it in person and just seen the emotions of Sami Zayn and actually see Nakamura in the back and the way they are kind of like a family, you know, they pull for each other. And to see Mojo Rawley, to see Zack Ryder's story, to see Sami Zayn, how much important it was to say goodbye to NXT the right way. Triple H's involvement. I mean, you get excited because this is what you love. You love, this is why we do it. Because you love this kind of stuff, and you know, we just saw an amazing breaking ground.
Yeah, and to reference what you were saying too, it's like a family. I could definitely tell in those moments, and you always kind of question whether things are authentic or not because there's
always
cameras around.
It's on cameras, yeah.
But here's the thing: from what I could tell, it felt authentic. And you know, when Triple H would walk in the back after NXT Dallas takeover, he looked like a proud father.
Yeah.
And because, you know,
and sad too that he had, you know, because part of him, like, he develops a bond with these guys. So part of it is also too, I'm going to miss you. But hey, in the long run, it's what's best for business.
And I think what the one thing that wasn't captured, I feel, I noticed it, but I felt wasn't necessarily addressed or captured in that segment. Tell me if you think any differently, is that a lot of people still fail to see that all of that locker room. A lot of it, that's Dusty Rhodes right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's Dusty Rhodes and all he implemented in there as well. So as much as Triple H is a proud father and all the agents and things of that nature are there, you know, I look at that roster and they showed that watch out of everybody. I was like, wow, that's Dusty Rhodes had a hand in every single one of those guys.
Bro, we got a great show, man.
Speaking of big things coming up.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a great show because right now, we are going to talk to Tiffany Oshinsky from SI.com. Remember, I got you onto the Extra Mustard section. Really good stuff. Really good things that make you think.
Yeah, I started with the hot clicks, then I went to the wrestling section, and then the Extra Mustard, you know. It's all great stuff on SI.com.
Yeah, and she's very talented. She leads up the Extra Mustard Minute. Very funny, very talented, very lovely.
Very witty, too.
You know, without further ado, Tiffany Oshinsky, SI.com, Extra Mustard. You can follow her on Twitter at TMO, loves LUVS Sports. I asked her about something that was on my mind that she brought up on her Twitter. This is what she had to say. Something that I've thought about all day today, and it's something you tweeted out earlier in the day, and not only did it make me think, it also made me like just question like humanity all in itself is, you're right, you know, how do people actually take the breading out of their bagels?
Thank you.
Like, what is up with that? Like, I mean, like, that's like kind of like the best part of your bagel, you know?
It's
I mean,
the best part. It's the softest. It's what makes a bagel, and I don't understand how people remove it.
Well, let me throw this at you guys, too. I mean, everybody is always watching their figure. Nowadays, it's all about body image, right? Maybe they just don't want the extra carbs. Have we ever thought of that?
Yeah, but they don't have the bread.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, it's still bread. The top is still bread. Maybe you're just cutting away your calories, maybe. Who knows? Who are we to judge, guys? Come on.
Have a wrap.
Well, what if they don't feel like a wrap? What if I feel like a bagel, but I know that, you know, it just goes right to my gut, and I don't want to have those extra pounds on me, so you know what? I'm not going to do a carb overload, so I'm not going to have a wrap. I want a bagel.
If you're getting a bagel, that means that you're in it to win it for your breakfast food. Bagel all in, or it's nothing.
Wait, do you have cream cheese or, like, bacon, egg, and cheese?
It depends. When I get it at work, I usually go with the bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yes.
But at the local bagel place by my house, they're the best, and they have whipped cream cheese, which is far superior than any other cream cheese. And they know that I like extra on there, so they, like, load my bagel. It's the best.
Now, you're a Pittsburgh native. Are you in the New York City area, or are you in Pittsburgh?
Well, fun fact, I'm a Pennsylvania native. I'm actually from Eastern PA. In Eagles territory, but I am a Steelers fan. So people think I'm from Pittsburgh, but I'm not really. I love it there, though. It's a great city. It's a lot of fun, but I'm based in New York City.
Okay, cool. So how is everything there with the Extra Mustard Minute? How's all that going?
It's going well. I mean, we're trying new things every time we get a chance, you know, trying to get guests in and do bigger things besides just reacting to viral videos out on the web. But it's going well. We're just trying to have fun, do something entertaining, as opposed to a lot of the hard-hitting, serious news that comes out of sports these days.
It should be fun, though. So how would you say, is it like a collaborative effort there when you guys decide what to do? I've seen some of your segments, really funny. I mean, you guys have the, you guys give fashion advice, you guys, do the, viral videos. How much of a collaborative effort is it, and how much of a say do you have in it?
It's a bit collaborative effort. I mean, there's a team. I have another guy who works with me to help edit and come up with story ideas. And then obviously Andy Gray on the written team, who runs Extra Mustard for the website. And then there's a few guys who write the Extra Mustard articles. So, we'll just talk together about things coming up, things we should do. And so it's a big collaborative effort. The videos that are mainly just me, it's more Andy Gray, my team member, and me deciding what to do. So it can be a smaller team, but when we bring in the other guys, it's a lot bigger.
Hey, Tiffany, this is Brian. What I love is the Hot Mustard Minute segments. I mean, what I love is the fact we even spoke about this with Andy too, how social media has not become so immense, and it's only about to get bigger, right? Where, actually, can you believe it or not, a Game 7, for example, Stanley Cup, NBA, NFL, Super Bowl, it seems like the stuff that happens behind the scenes prior and after the game is actually more exciting than the actual game itself. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what's kind of funny about the Extra Mustard segments, and, even what SB Nation does and Pro Bible and all these websites out there, it's just there's so much content surrounding the game that the game is just, the foundation and what people probably care about the most, what's the outcome. But at the same time, the conversations that you're going to end up having with people is, when did Steph Curry tweet? Or, what did Brent Burns wear before the game? Things like that. It just creates this conversation that people love to talk about and rant on.
So, talking about Brent Burns, you're talking about the playoffs. So I got to hit you with this, Tiffany. You guys do a fashion segment too, mm-hmm. on and off, right? So I got to tell you this. You've done suits. You've seen how the guys wear. But I got to ask you, are you like a Brent Burns beard kind of guy? Or are you like a little Sidney Crosby stubble kind of person?
Or a clean shaven look? Which one?
It's funny. I have no idea where I land on that, because my husband does not have a beard. I like the clean shaven look, but there are times when I see certain athletes with a beard that I'm like, I like that. I'm not a big fan of the crazy bushy beard unless it's on Brett Keisel from the Steelers.
Okay, nice.
Well, I'm out of luck, Jeff. I have a huge beard.
I mean, it's just one of those things where it kind of I don't really know. I have no idea what my preference is. I notice that when it comes to actors and people like that who I find attractive, I'm like, I don't think that you're attractive, but at the same time, this person who's on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, I find them attractive. So, I'm like, beard, sure. No beard, sure. Whatever.
I think Jeff started this preference because, honestly, Tiffany, a little backstory here. I've only started growing a beard around 2013 when the Devils were in the Stanley Cup Finals or doing that playoff run against the Los Angeles Kings and lost, unfortunately.
So he takes his playoff beard seriously.
I wanted to grow a playoff beard. I never had a chance to because they always get eliminated in the first round. It's like, please, get into the second round so at least have some stubble. Long story short, they went into the finals. I had a gigantic beard. And I had a wedding of a friend to go to, and this is June, right? So it's hot. My beard's all bushy. I'm like, I get a haircut, nice and tight haircut, and all of a sudden I'm like, leave the beard. And it was a nice look. I was like, wow, I kind of like it, actually. I'm not saying I started the trend, but before then, I started seeing everybody have beards on. Now Jeff is finally growing a beard. Where did that come from? Because I only know that I started doing it in 2013, and now
it seems
like the more fashion power, everybody's now wearing beards.
It came from you. You are the trendsetter.
Ah, man, I should have trademarked that thing. I really should have.
So now you have another nickname. You're the trendsetter.
The trendsetter. Oh, I like that. Thank you, Tiffany. Another hashtag trendsetter high spot podcast. Like it.
Yeah.
Where did that come from, you think? Did you start noticing the slow build up to that? Like beards being the most popular things?
I see everywhere where I walk. And we're here in New York, and we to get to Times Square to get to here. I mean, there are beards everywhere. It's crazy. It's a phenomenon.
It's because of you.
Yeah, probably. So now we head into the now we're gonna roll up our sleeves here, Tiff, and we're gonna talk about the NBA Finals, right?
Okay.
I'm a person that I really
said right from the beginning.
No, see, I don't panic. I don't go crazy if a team, you know, the Cavs lose two games in Golden State, and all of a sudden, oh, it's the end of the world. Oh, LeBron's horrible. But honestly, don't people worry? Isn't it when you lose a game at home when things start to like unravel or you're in trouble?
Yeah, I think if the Cavs lost game 3, then I would be a bit worried, because game 4, you know, win or you're done, go home. So I feel like winning at home is a big deal. But when it comes to like the LeBron scenario, I've had this conversation actually this week where I've had people being like, I hate LeBron, but I want to see the Cavs win because the Cavs haven't won a championship in 52 years. And at the same time, I also hear, I don't like the Cavs, but I like LeBron. So, you know, it's a weird world with choosing whether or not they're going to win or lose, or if you want them to win or lose. But definitely, I think if they didn't win at home for game 3, they were done. I think if they lose game 4, though, they're definitely losing back out. And like when they go back out to California.
Now, is his career incomplete if they don't win a title in Cleveland? I mean, that's why he came here, to bring a title to Cleveland. Does his I hate this word because I hear it every time.
They don't
legacy,
say it.
Legacy. Is his legacy tarnished a little bit if he doesn't bring a title to Cleveland?
That's an interesting question. I think him as an overall player, his career is above and beyond successful. I do think that there will always be that little asterisk, like, he couldn't win in Cleveland, which sucks. You know, it's where he began. He came back to it. But I don't think it should tarnish his legacy. I think that maybe people will always, you know, have that shadow on him, but I don't think that it should tarnish it.
Oh, well, you know, it's maybe something that's already been tarnished or not. And listen, I'm going to give you a little suggestion, a little creative feedback when you have your meetings about, you know, when you do your extra mustard meetings. How about this? If you do not put this week Justin Bieber getting his butt kicked last night by this one guy. I mean, you talk about stuff that happened in the Quicken Loans. There was also another beating, and that was outside Justin Bieber.
That was a beat down.
So, yeah. I mean, how little bit of you says yes, and then it was like, oh, my God, what's up with this guy?
With Justin Bieber?
Yeah, did you get to see the video?
No, I didn't see him.
Oh, you're gonna laugh.
I know that he was there, and I know that he was booed, but I didn't.
Listen, if you play this video this week on your Mustard Minute at all this week, I'm gonna take credit for it, and you better like give a wink or something and give me credit for this, because you're gonna laugh. You're going to laugh.
Imagine the high spot when you're doing the thing.
Exactly. Basically, like supposedly, allegedly, a Cleveland local who was much bigger, like the 6'5" guy, came up to him for an autograph, and I guess he wasn't in the mood, and he kind of like started like leaning towards him and threw the first punch, and then basically he got like his face pushed in and basically fell down, and the guy in the video is like, oh man, Bieber got his ass kicked.
Yeah, I just pulled up my computer because I wanted to see what you're talking about.
Oh, you're gonna...
First thing, I just searched Justin Bieber, and the first article is from TMZ. Justin Bieber throws down in huge fist fight.
He gets thrown down and gets beat down.
Yeah, but it's the new trend now where like Justin Bieber's like, I don't know the fans anything. I want my own private life. Well, then you shouldn't, you know, this is what you signed up for,
and
basically.
Yeah, he posted like, oh, nothing, no scratches on this beautiful face, something like that he wrote. But man. Just crazy.
I can't walk past a postered image of Justin Bieber without punching it in the face.
So if this comes on the Mustard Minute, I'm going to be like, I'm going to have a little hand in that.
I'll make sure to call you out.
Okay.
Tiffany, one thing I wanted to ask you, too, is going back on in terms of all the work you've done. You have a tremendous resume here, and I can read them all off, but by that time the interview would be over because it's so long and lengthy, which is great. My thing to you is, like, what kind of – what drew you into this? Because, I mean, most people would say, like, when you look at sports in general, especially if we go back maybe 10, 15 years ago, it's so male-dominated, it's so competitive. I mean, it's really hard for anybody to kind of get their foot in the door. Let alone a woman. Was that a discouraging thing for you, or did that give you more motivation? Say, hey, I want to make in this business. And have you seen it change as the years have gone by?
You know, it's funny. When I first started, that wasn't even really a thought that crossed my mind, because getting into the sports industry was new to me. And when I went to school, I actually wanted to be a film director. I went to NYU Tisch School of the Arts and went to film school. And that was the dream, to work on movie sets and all that. And I
would you recommend that place?
Would I recommend it?
Yeah, because I'm thinking about going to film school as well.
You know, I learned a lot there, yeah. I will say, but as someone who was an athlete, which I was just going to say, you know, I grew up with sports and I always liked football and whatnot. I was like, none of my classmates, NYU is a very artsy school. I think depending on where you go to college for film school, you'll meet different people, but the NYU film students are very artsy and very creative and smart, which is awesome, but it was very difficult being like, hey, do you want to watch the game on Sunday? And they'd be like, what are you talking about? We want to go film and like work on our movie sets all day.
Cool.
So, you know, I found that I realized that this wasn't really, film wasn't for me. And that's when I learned about, I didn't even think that there was sports TV. To me, it was just kind of news. And I was like, oh yeah, ESPN happens, whatever. But then I learned about HBO Sports, which was where I had my very first internship. And I learned about the filmmaking that goes on in their programming.
So they have amazing documentaries, don't they?
Amazing. Real Sports is awesome. Their sports docs are amazing. You know, all the shows that they do. So it was sort of like that was the switch that turned me on into the sports documentary world, and I realized that you could be a creative, smart filmmaker in sports. So to me, it was just another avenue of filmmakers as opposed to this is a male-dominated industry. So when, you know, I started working, I realized that, yeah, it's filled with a lot of men. Like, okay, this is what I'm getting into. But it didn't really discourage me too much because everyone was kind of like, oh, she knows what she's talking about and she's creative and, you know, she thinks things a little differently. Plus, I was more, like I said, about the filmmaking as opposed to the content. The content was just an added bonus. So that just kind of helped me get through everything and not think about it. As I got to different places, yeah, I started to notice a lot more men, but recently there's been a lot more women involved, and I definitely am proud to see a lot of women doing things. Like, Katie Nolan is one of my favorite people to watch.
Oh, yeah, she's really good.
She's great, and you know, someone who does more, like, pop culture meets sports type of content, too. Seeing her be so successful and see her win an Emmy, it's like, dreams can be true. Like, dreams can happen.
Is that somebody that, like, you emulated, Katie Nolan? Is there anybody when you were growing up that you were like, oh, I want to be like her? Or were you just like, oh, I've seen it's a, like, you know, there's a lot of guys in this, you know, in the sports field. But is there anybody that you try to emulate?
You know, not really. I feel like that's one of my flaws is I'm not sure who I would want to be.
Be yourself, be original.
That's a thing, yeah. Too. I think with Jeff Mendes, we always try to take certain things from people who have been successful. But the great thing about you, Tiffany, when I watch those minutes, too, is that you have your own type of comedy, which, you know, maybe a lot of people don't get, but majority of them do. And it's you. You're not emulating somebody else. So that's always the best thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I think that's the thing is I'm such myself. I'm a huge dork. And I am a crazy cat lady, which I am not ashamed to admit. So, you know, a lot of my humor.
Oh, the cat woman.
Yep. I am a total crazy cat lady. So you're welcome. I hope I am your first on your show.
Yeah, it's the first cat lady you've ever had.
Well, the first one that's ever, like, even openly stated that she's a cat lady. But another question, too, is now listen, you. One of the things that's great about you is that you love sports, right? And so,
and you know your stuff.
So a guy like me and Brian, we like a girl that could sit down and watch a football game with me is like amazing. You know, just sports in general. Like how, like you know, kudos to your husband. But now I bet you that he's not a sports guy, is he?
Oh no, he's a big sports guy.
Oh, then he can appreciate the fact
the
that he's
perfect
got,
match.
Yes, then
it
he's found
true.
He's found a woman that can sit down and watch the game with him. Steelers fan, right?
He's actually a Giants fan.
Oh, wow. Wow. At least you're different, you know.
Different conferences, at least.
Yeah, we will support each other when, you know, another team's eliminated or, like, when the Giants beat the Patriots. I'm like, all right, go Giants. And when the Steelers are in it, he cheers for the Steelers. But they play each other this year out in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
I kind of want to go, so there's, you know, there's tension during that game.
Is there a lot of trash talking going on back and forth? I mean, besides football, do you guys, like, root for similar teams in other sports? Or, for example, Jeff and I, he's a Met fan, I'm a Yankee fan. So it's, like, it's always back and forth. He's a Jet fan, I'm a Giant fan. So.
Well, actually, my husband and I met when we were both working at Major League Baseball, and we were working at MLB Productions at the time, and the one night I was working late. I was there till like 3 in the morning, just, you know, doing
some
work.
Is there Marvin Gaye music should be playing?
No. I was all alone in the office. Like,
Oh, God, stop, Tiffany.
This is
slower. Talk slower.
Let me finish.
I'm joking.
So I was working on a piece just for myself. I was editing something to show that I could edit and that I could move up in the company. So I edited a piece, and this was in 2008. So I edited a piece on how terrible the Mets bullpen was because I am a Mets fan. And the next day, yeah, I'm a Mets fan. The next day, I showed it to him to just be like, you know, what do you think of the piece that I cut? And he's like, this is so terrible, but so amazing. He's like, are you a Mets fan? I'm like, I am a Mets fan. And that's how we bonded.
Awesome. Love and the Mets and Mets baseball. I mean, come on. It's a love story. It's an epic.
All I can say is, unfortunately, come from, again, I'm a Yankee fan, Tiffany and Jeff. I have nothing to brag about now, but I've seen my championships. I'm not one of those typical Yankee, you know, we should, you know, go exceed the payroll and buy all these superstars. No. I've had my fun. You guys, I feel for you guys. I really
do. Listen, Tiff, let the Cubs get their regular season wins in, okay? We just got to get healthy.
You guys got bigger problems.
We just got to get healthy.
We'll sweep them again in the playoffs. It's all right.
Exactly. But Harvey's looking like Harvey now. The Dark Knight seems to be back. Keep our fingers crossed. We got Thor. I mean, we got Marvel Comics, like, you know.
Real quick, Tiff, how tough was it last one against the Royals?
That was difficult to watch. It was sad.
Do you agree that Harvey, like when Harvey went up and said, I want to go. Now hindsight's 20/20, obviously. Did you agree with, you know, Harvey and the Harp going in there, or do you would have probably pulled him from that game? What would you have done?
When my pitcher tells me I want the ball, I give him the ball.
You want to see that, right? Yeah. You want him to do that. You want to see it in his eyes.
Yeah, you want to see it, and if that's how he feels and he thinks he can do it, I mean, that's what I would do. I'd be like, go get him.
All right, yeah, of course, you know, the Cubs right now are all the talk of baseball. They're the darlings right now, and we saw your little ode to the Cubs where you sang your tune. And
I want to sing karaoke with them.
You
They're
did.
Coming soon. June 30th is this game one of their 4-game series against the Mets.
Oh, so you're a big karaoke fan?
Oh, I love karaoke. I'm not the best at it.
We all think we're the best at it at some point, right?
In the shower, I'm the best.
I'm a great karaoke performer. When it comes to the actual singing part, I'm like, meh. But you got to know how to work the crowd when you sing karaoke.
Exactly. It's about the performance, right? It's not about necessarily the lyrics or the sound of it, because people wouldn't like the performance. They get into it, of course. What's your favorite song?
Yeah. What do you like
usually
to sing?
My go-to, Total Eclipse of the Heart is my go-to.
Totally. Wow. It's amazing.
All right. I'm a little bit of an R&B guy. Me, like, I would go out and I spit the tunes, maybe, you know.
Like the love songs, yeah. Jeff loves serenading the ladies.
Wait, what's your go-to song?
Like, R&B songs, you know what I mean? Like, just, like, little, like nice romantic, like, songs. That's kind of good. Oh, she's like, okay.
It's not like a total eclipse of the heart, but okay, whatever.
No, you need, like, something that gets the crowd going. I feel like certain songs, you know,
then it'd
serenading,
be,
it's a little slow.
It'd be Too Close by Next.
Oh. Poison. That's what you got to sing.
Oh, yeah. Poison. Yeah.
Don't Stop Believing. There you go. Journey. That's my go-to.
Yeah.
Can't hit the high note. But so, again, you know, a lot of players can sing, too. Like, they try to tempt in karaoke.
So, you know, we're setting you up for something. You know that's what we're going to do. Okay? So, since you do the karaoke, I want to play a game with you. You play a lot of games on your minute, and you have a lot of victims. Okay? So, now you're going to be the victim to our experiment, our game show, is guess the athletes that's singing this tune.
Or does
we just invented it, so the name might suck right now, but that's the name that we're playing.
To borrow, I'm not going to steal because I don't steal. We like to be original too. But who the F is this?
Okay, there you go. There you go. You ready? You ready, Tiff?
All right, I'm ready. I'm thinking I'm going to be terrible at this. Let's try it.
All right.
7 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
Oh man.
Ooh yeah. I got a real pretty little thing that's waiting for me.
Guess what I did?
Hey. I pulled up, anticipating good luck. Girl, don't keep me waiting.
What you gonna do with them hands?
I got plans to put my hands in places I never seen. Girl, you know what I mean.
Okay, enough of that. Who was that?
I have no idea. Was it Steph Curry?
He wishes. No.
I was just thinking, like, who would be singing in the background with him? I'm like, I bet Aisha would totally sing with him.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. See, okay, well, we'll tell you. He was a radio station, so that person in the background was, I guess, a DJ.
Oh, okay.
So, the host, yeah.
Yeah, the host. And so, no, I'll give you two more guesses.
Let me single out for you. NFL.
There you go.
NFL, okay.
Say the NFL.
Oh, wait, was it Terrell Owens?
No.
No. Someone
recent. Distributes the ball to the receivers.
Recently who?
Recently, let's just say, okay, Super Bowl 50.
Super Bowl 50, okay. Odell? Wait, was that 50? Sorry, the Panthers. Cam.
Yes.
Yes.
That was Cam.
Cam Newton. We did those chops right there.
What was that?
Oh, this was a couple days ago, I think. Another one that you could use if you want to.
Yeah, I know he's retiring the dabbing, guys.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He should be retiring the singing chops.
And he's retiring
the dance, but not the singing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. But I'll tell you real quick before we let you go, because I know you got to go and head out, and we really appreciate your time here. It's been great. I mean, we could talk to you for hours, I feel, but at the same time, you know, we got things to do, right? But have you ever watched any pro wrestling in your life? A WWE fan, maybe? Seen it? Come across it?
When I was younger, I remember one of my good friends back in elementary school was, like, obsessed with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that was kind of all I remember about wrestling. I've never really watched it, though.
You got to. No. You don't have to. Please, no, I'm doing you a favor. No, you don't have to watch it. But it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's pretty epic time to be watching. If at least you're interested in it as a little kid growing up. Did kids go to your school like doing the DX chop, like chopping the crotch in front of the teachers and stuff like that?
Tiff, that was called the Attitude Era. So like there was a bunch of kids getting in trouble doing the chops at the crotch and everything like that. It was a good time. It was a good time to be a kid. Good time to grow up.
I just remember those pillows. And back when it was still the WWF.
Oh, the Wrestling Buddies.
Oh, yeah, the Wrestling Buddies. Oh, God. Did you have Wrestling Buddies or no?
I never did, but my friend had, like, a bunch of them.
Oh, wow. Jealous. I never did. Never had.
To be young again, Tiff. We just want to get back to our youth.
All right, we reminisce here, but... Tiffany Oshinsky from SI.com, Extra Mustard Minute. You can catch her on Twitter at TMO Loves, LUVS, Sports. What's the M stand for?
Michelle.
Oh, there you go. That's
simple
what I thought.
Michelle.
Simply Michelle.
Oh.
So we'll leave it at that. Tiffany, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And like we said, we hope you enjoyed being here. We enjoyed having your company. And don't be a stranger. We'd like to have you on at some point down the road.
Thank you, guys. It's been fun. We can karaoke next time.
All right.
Definitely. And a huge thanks goes out to Tiffany Oshinsky. Again, catch her on Twitter at TMO Loves, LUVS Sports. She's just so fun and witty. We could have talked to her for hours and hours.
But again, great. Really great person to talk to. Really great person.
It just flowed naturally, and she seems like a really down-to-earth person. And just like we spoke about before, very quick, witty. And like I said, we could have gone hours and hours, but we had to let her go, unfortunately. But hopefully she'll be on again, and we would love to have her on again because, you know, sports never has the day off, Jeff.
No, and neither does she. So
neither
I'm glad she gave us that time. And hey, listen, turn the tables on her, man. Finally found out it was Cam Newton, but struggled with that a little bit.
Yeah, I think she appreciated it, too, because, you know, at the same time, you know, it's stuff that she does. And hey, creativity sharpens creativity, as Seth Rollins would say, iron sharpens iron. You know,
and I love the way you came up with the witty name for our game show segment there.
Yeah, who the F is this?
That's funny. It's really funny, man. But again,
and hey, you know, and I kudos goes out to Tiffany. I created the whole beard,
the trendsetter,
right,
ladies and gentlemen, in front of your eyes.
So thank you so much, Tiffany, for that. Jeff, it's always great to talk to you, man, and we'll see you again as the weeks come. And if you guys want to be posted and updated on what we're doing as the weeks go by, not just with your comments and remarks, but, you know, guests coming up and future plans for the High Spot Podcast, again, catch us on our Twitter, at High Spot Podcast, for all the news and notes and everything you want to know about the High Spot and the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
But again, thanks to Tiffany Oshinsky, and Brian, thanks to you, man.
All right, thank you, man. Jeff Martin, I'm Brian Berger, Jersey Wrecking Crew. I keep saying Jesse and the Rippers for some reason. It sounds like that, at least. But Jersey Wrecking Crew is peacing out, guys. As me, the trendsetter, says goodbye, and we'll see you again.
Too sweet!